Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So in today's gospel reading, Jesus is going up the mountain with Peter, James, and John. Now these aren't just any disciples. Jesus has an inner circle. He has the disciples who follow him, you know, the 5,000 that were fed, right? And then he has the 12 apostles. And then he has Peter, James, and John. They were the first ones to be called. They're here at the Transfiguration. And they're together again in the garden with Jesus right before he's arrested. When these three guys get together, something's going to happen. And our gospel says, Jesus' face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Then Moses and Elijah, the two greatest prophets of the Old Testament, they're seen with him. See, the mountain is a place to encounter the divine. And there's this history, this rich history in Scripture of encountering God when you go up to the mountain. In fact, both Moses and Elijah had profound experiences on the mountaintop. Moses, in the book of Exodus, he was speaking to God, and there's this moment where he gives his full allegiance to God and to God's plan, and they're having this great conversation, and then Moses says, I want to see your face. I want to see your glory. Now, this is kind of a big deal, because earlier in the book, God says, nobody can see my glory. But Moses asks for it. And God says, okay, here's what we're going to do. So he shoves Moses into like this cleft of a rock, shoves him in there. And then God tells Moses, I'm going to let my backside pass before you. And God shows his backside to Moses. And some of the glory of God, it sticks to him. And people, when they see Moses, when they see the glory of God on him, they become afraid, and so they stop looking at him. And so he has to cover his face just so people will look him in the eyes again. And so God has this one-on-one intimate experience with Moses. And Moses, he comes away and he's changed by it. And then Elijah, the other prophet who's with Jesus at the Transfiguration, he has this encounter with God too. See, Elijah's a prophet during times when people were ignoring God's covenant, when they're destroying altars, when they're worshiping idols, when there's deep division in the population, so nothing like today. And Elijah, he cries out to God, and God says, go up the mountain. And so he goes up the mountain, and there's all kinds of this crazy weather. There's wind, and there's earthquakes, and there's fire. And then there's silence. And God spoke in the silence. God speaks to Elijah on the mountaintop. And Elijah, he comes away a different person. See, when we meet God on the mountaintop, we cannot help but be changed. When we experience those thin places, we can't help but be changed. And so Jesus is up on the mountaintop with Elijah and Moses. But this time, the glory, it doesn't come from somewhere else. The glory, it comes from Jesus himself. He is the light. And then his Father speaks, "This is my Son who I love. Listen to him." And then Peter, God bless Peter, I love this guy. Peter, he understands the moment that's happening. He gets it. He gets it. And he says, "Lord, let me build shelters here. Let's set up a residence here. Let's hold on to this moment right here. Let's live in this." See, he sees a good moment, and he's trying to hold on to it for dear life. He wants to build shelters. Have you ever wanted to hold on to a holy, holy God-given moment? See, these transcendent, thin place moments, they take us outside of space and time and make us realize the interconnectedness of everything. They show us something about ourselves. They show us something about who God is. I don't blame Peter for wanting to stay up on the mountain. He wants to stay in the transcendence. He wants to stay with Jesus in his glory. But the problem with that is that Jesus comes down the mountain. Jesus doesn't stay up there. See, these moments of transcendence, they aren't meant to be held onto. They're meant to be fuel for the fire of your faith. They're meant to be reminders. Jesus doesn't let the disciples stay on the mountain because there's more work to be done. The kingdom has not arrived in its finality. They have to get back to the kingdom work. They come back to the crowds. They come back to the reality of Jesus' words, that if anybody wants to be my disciples, they have to take up their cross and follow me. We need mountaintop experiences because too often we find ourselves in valleys. See, it's nice to think about those moments, but the reason that Christianity exists and is spread is not because of the mountaintop experiences. It's because God became flesh and dwelt among us. See, the cloud of glory, it leaks down the mountain into the world. Jesus hung out with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes and the sick and the dying and the lame and the people that nobody else wants to hang out with. And he asks you, the church, his body in the world, he asks you to do the same. And it was only after the resurrection that the disciples understood that true Christian discipleship comes not with being served with experience of transcendence, but with serving others in their needs. my sense is that we're all looking for transcendent experiences. We're looking for places to experience the divine and receive moments of serenity and joy, and that is great. But we all come down from the mountain eventually. Kids start to fight. Our relationships wane. We experience death. And the goal is not to again seek God somewhere up there, or to wait for the mountaintop experience to come to us, but to embrace the fact that Jesus is in the moments of the mundane as well. Jesus is the same on the mountaintop when he's up there and when he's healing people in the valley. I wonder if Jesus didn't so much change as our perception of him changes given our circumstance. What if the Jesus on the mountain actually shines like that in every place? Well, what if Jesus is the light in the darkness at all times? We're just not able to see it. Friends, I'm convinced that Jesus is no different at the transfiguration than he is on the cross. We just have a hard time seeing it. Next week we enter the season of Lent. It's a time for us, friends, to slow down, to not take life for granted, to focus on our spiritual lives and connectedness to God. It's a time to remember that our lives are, as Scripture says, like vapor. And as a community, we are going to start a communal practice during Lent. We're going to start a spiritual habit together of prayer. I'm going to talk more about it on Ash Wednesday, and I'm going to talk more about it next Sunday. There's your teaser for both. So as you prepare for Lent, take a breath. Slow down. It's a good time to fast. Fast from food. Fast from screens. To give up something as a daily reminder of who you are seeking. So friends, as we prepare for Lent, may you see Jesus in the mundane of life and not just on the mountaintop. May you perceive him in the chaos and in peace. And may you know him so deeply that you see him shining daily. Amen.